right, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Sunday morning service, Shield of Faith Baptist Church. It's a beautiful, sunny blue day outside. It's going to be nice and hot, so yeah, it's great to see everybody. If we all begin to make our ways to our seats, please, and there should be a printed out piece of paper with our first song on it. We're going to go ahead and do How Great Thou Art, and we'll sing it out loud. How great thou art. On the first.
Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made,
thank you.
want.
Amen. Brother Skulk, will you open us with a word of prayer?
Lord, thank you for us all being here together, singing praises unto you. Lord, I pray that you bless the service and bless the preaching and be with us all after fellowship. And we love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. All right. Let's grab our hymn books now and turn to song number 223. Springs of Living Water. Sing it out loud. Song number 223, Springs of Living Water. I thirsted in the barren land of sin and shame on the first.
I thirsted in the barren land of sin and shame, and nothing satisfying there I found. But to the blessed cross of Christ one day I came, where springs of living water did abound. Drinking at the springs of living water, happy now am I, my soul dissatisfied. Drinking at the springs of supply. How sweet the living water from the hills of God, it makes me glad and happy all the way. But glory, grace, and blessing mark the path I've trod. I'm shouting hallelujah every day. Drinking at the springs of living water, happy now am I, my soul is satisfied. Drinking at the springs of living water, wonderful and bountiful supply. Oh, sinner, won't you come today to Calvary? A fountain there is flowing deep and wide. The Savior now invites you to the water free, where thirsting spirits can be satisfied. Drinking at the springs of living water, now am I, my soul may satisfy. Drinking at the springs of living water, wonderful and bountiful supply.
Amen.
All right, good morning. Welcome to Shield of Faith Baptist Church. If you need a bulletin, just raise your hand and keep it up, and we'll have somebody get you one real quick. All right, well, let's go through the front page first. Weekly church service time, Sunday mornings at 10:30, Sunday evenings at 6, and Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Underneath that's a list of our soul winning times. We have Saturday mornings at 10:30 meeting right here, Sunday afternoons at 2 with Brother David, Mondays at 6:30 with Mauser, Wednesdays at 11 a.m. with Brother Briley, and Thursdays around 6:30. Thursdays, we're still meeting here, so... But still send a text message if you're going to go Thursday, because sometimes we don't always get here on time. 208-391-5323. Salvation's for June, so we're at 4. And that's 58 year-to-date. Baptisms are 5. Last Sunday morning, we had 35 in attendance and 29 in the evening service and 28 on Wednesday. And we had 16 soul winners out in the community, so praise God for all of that. Back page... let's see here. Tonight we'll be in 2 Samuel chapter number 5. And don't forget, July 4th. So after the Sunday evening service next weekend, we'll be having another barbecue hot dog deal. So come hungry. Come hungry and thirsty. Jeff's bringing Gatorade for everybody. Just kidding. Yes. Yeah. It's actually pretty good. Yeah. Was that what you were drinking yesterday? Yeah, it was pretty good stuff, huh? All right. Okay, let's see, a look ahead. So the week of the Red Hot Preaching Conference. All right, so July 15th through the 18th. So that week, we're moving the service from Wednesday to Tuesday, okay? So just for that week only. So don't forget, the week of the Red Hot Preaching Conference, we're moving the Wednesday service, the midweek service, to Tuesday, just for that week only. Birthdays and anniversaries for June. So next up, what was today? Where's Miss Joanna? Oh, there she is. Today, well, happy anniversary. We will be praying for you guys. This week's memory verse is Psalm chapter 10, verse 4, which says, "The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts." We are a family integrated church. And so what that means is children and infants are always welcome in the service. If you need privacy, there's a daddy baby room right over here. And the mother baby room is just right across the hallway there. Just follow the lavender trail. It'll take you right in there. Oh, and the computer's probably froze just because nobody's been using it. So just toggle the mouse thing and just click start. And F7's the volume down and F8's volume up. We're working on getting a better deal so you don't have to mess with this stuff. But, yeah. All right, tithes and offerings for June right below that. Don't forget to turn your phones off or place them on silent so they're not a distraction during the service. And the very bottom line from last week says father's role by ruling their house as well, and that takes courage. Sometimes when I do this play on words, I throw myself off. I'm like, what is that? What kind of English is that, Caden? And I'm like, oh yeah, I told him to do that. All right, anyway, that was from last Sunday morning. So we're going to have one more song before we receive the offering.
All right, let's grab our hymn books one more time, please, and turn to song number one. Jesus, I my cross have taken. And we'll sing it out loud, song number one. Jesus, I my cross have taken. On the first, Jesus, I my cross have taken.
Thank you so much, Lord, for allowing us to be able to meet here this morning. Just pray you continue to bless your church, Lord, and be with us, especially as we go throughout this week, Lord, and the soaring temperatures. And I just pray that you minimize distractions, bless the service, the fellowship, everything we have going on today. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
Morning, everyone. Open to Isaiah chapter 3. Isaiah chapter 3. Isaiah chapter 3, starting in verse 1. For behold, the Lord of hosts, doth take away from Jerusalem and from Judah the stay and the staff, the whole stay of the bread and the whole stay of water, the mighty man and the man of war, the judge and the prophet and the prudent and the ancient, the captain of 50 and the honorable man, and the counselor and the cunning artificer and the eloquent orator. And I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. And the people shall be oppressed, every one by another, and every one by his neighbor. This child shall behave himself proudly against the ancient, and the base against the honorable. When a man shall take hold of his brother of the house of his father, saying, Thou hast clothing, be thou our ruler, and let this ruin be under thy hand. In that day shall he swear, saying, I'll not be an healer, for in my house is neither bread nor clothing. Make me not a ruler of the people. For Jerusalem is ruined, and Judah is fallen, because their tongue and their doings are against the Lord, to provoke the eyes of the glory of his glory. The shoe of their countenance doth witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. Say ye to the righteous, that it shall be well with him, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe unto the wicked, it shall be ill with him, for the reward of his hand shall be given him. As for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. O my people, they which lead thee cause thee to err, and destroy the way of thy paths. The Lord standeth up to plead, and standeth to judge the people. The Lord will enter into judgment with the ancients of his people, and the princes thereof. For ye have eaten up the vineyard, the spoil of the poor is in your houses. What mean ye that ye beat my people to pieces and grind the faces of the poor, saith the Lord God of hosts? Moreover, the Lord saith, because the daughters of Zion are haughty and walk with stretched forth necks and wanton eyes, walking and mincing as they go and making a tinkling with their feet. Therefore the Lord will smite with a scab the crown of the head of the daughters of Zion, and the Lord will discover their secret parts. In that day the Lord will take away the bravery of their tinkling ornaments about their feet and their coals and their round tires like the moon. The chains and the bracelets and the mufflers, the bonnets and the ornaments of the legs and the headbands and the tablets and the earrings. The rings and the nose jewels, the changeable suits of apparel and the mantles and the wimples and the crisping pins, the glasses and the fine linen, and the hoods, and the veils. And it shall come to pass that instead of sweet smell there shall be stink, and instead of a girdle a rent, and instead of well-set hair, baldness, and instead of a stomacher a girding of sackcloth, and a burning instead of beauty. Thy men shall fall by the sword, and thy mighty in the war, and her gate shall lament and mourn, and she being desolate shall sit upon the ground. Brother Victor, you want to pray for us?
Thank you, Lord, for giving us another day and allowing us to gather here again to listen to your word and sing praises unto you. I pray that you fill Pastor John with the Holy Spirit and bring forth the message in his heart. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
All right, well, amen. So we're in Isaiah chapter number 3 again. So we've been doing a series called The Pride of Patriotism. In the first part, we talked about the disappearance of leadership. And so we'll just start off with a quick review here of the chapter, what's going on. So we have that to build off of, but today's going to be the last sermon in this series. So what's going on here is the prophet Isaiah has received a vision from God, and the vision is concerning Judah and Jerusalem in their final times. And God's basically telling them, hey, your so-called sovereignty is about to disappear. It's about to go out the window. And everything really hinges off of this phrase that God gives Isaiah, where he says, all of these things are going to happen because of the tongues and the doings of the people. You see, it's not just because they had a wicked king. It's not just because they had some bad elders or some bad politicians. It's the people collectively
that have decided to turn their hearts away from God. And as you're reading through this chapter, you know, verse 1 talks about how God's going to take away the stay of bread, the stay of water. What does that mean? Well, the reserves, right? We've been a nation that have prided ourselves on, oh, look at how much excess ammo we have. Look at how much food and abundance that we have. Look at how much materials that we have. All of that stuff right now in our nation, we can see, is starting to dwindle down. Our stay is starting to go the way that theirs was. And then what else does he say in verse 2? God says he's going to take away the mighty man. He's going to take away the counselor, the prudent, the ancient. He's taking away all of these people. And it says that he's going to take away the captains of 50s. Well, that's a picture of leadership. Well, what happens when you take away leadership from a nation? Well, there goes the initiative. There goes the person that's got the ability to look out there and say, hey, you know, we're starting to run low on this. We're starting to run low on this. There's a problem. There's a breach over here. We need to fix that, right? You don't have those types of people anymore to take that initiative to go fix that problem. And that was the first sermon that we did where we focused on verse 6 and 7, where, you know, people are like, hey, you've got an extra change of clothes. You've got resources. Why don't you take this burden upon yourself and help us? And the guy's like, you didn't see nothing. I ain't got nothing here, man. I'm not going to be able to help, right? Nobody wants to take accountability. Nobody wants to do anything. And so a result of that is a couple of different things. One is the rise of sodomites, and we're going to talk about that. But two, it's just children are going to rule over the elders. Women are going to rule over their husbands, and it's just ensuing chaos. And that's basically what God is telling Isaiah to tell the people, hey, this is your future. This is what's going to happen. It's your fault. I didn't ordain this. This just is what it is. Now, during this time period, you have to understand also, we've talked about this before, Isaiah was a prophet during Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. So through these four kings. And you know, aside from Ahaz, the rest of the kings, they loved the Lord. They had their issues. They had their problems. But it's not like they were super corrupt like our politicians. You know, these guys weren't like Ahabs or Manasses or anything like that. And so, you understand that, and you got to kind of think like, man, like, well, what's going on? They have a king that loves the Lord. Why are the people the way that they are? And that's just the cycle of life. That's just how people get, you know. People get complacent when they have too much. They have too much time. They have too much money. They have too much resources. There's no challenges in front of them. They start to think, wow, that's because of me. I'm something special here. I'm a big deal, man. This is great. And that is contagious. That is parasitic. That attitude rubs off on other people. And so the title of the sermon this morning is Parasitic Patriots. Parasitic Patriots. You say, well, what in the heck? Why are you just bashing all these patriots and stuff? And you know why? It's because we go out to these communities here. It doesn't seem to matter which one, whether it's Emmett, Ontario, Boise, Meridian, Eagle. It doesn't really matter. You know, and you knock on these people's doors and they've got God Bless America, you know, the wreath and the flags and all this stuff. And what happens when you open the door? Get out of here. I don't want you here. Blah, blah, blah. They're just some of the rudest people now, you know. It's almost like, hey, just give me the guy that's, you know, from another country. You know what I mean? It's just like, not sure what's going on, you know. And I'm going to say this here. I am thankful that I'm born in this nation because we still have rights that a lot of other people don't. And it makes that easier, right? We could still go out and knock doors. And for the most part, you know, we don't have to fight too much. Not like you would in Canada or some of these other nations. For example, when I was in Japan and I was going to Yokosuka Baptist Church, in order to go soul winning, the pastor had to maintain a permit every single month. So every month, the Japanese government would give you 7 slots, and these are 1-hour slots. And there's rules attached to that. They give you 1 permit, right? And so you have to go to church, you gather up all the soul winners, and you have to brief them every single time. Say, okay, we're going to go to this part of town here. You have to pick 1 spot to stand in, and you're going to stand in that spot for exactly 1 hour. You cannot lean out and try to hand somebody something. You have to wait until they engage you. Okay, that's really how it is. Now, with the Americans, the Japanese just kind of look the other way. They don't really care. So if you're, you know, you're American, Australian, English, whatever, the Japanese cops aren't going to do anything. But you cannot do that to a Japanese national. You cannot step out in front of them and say, hey, hold on, I want to say something to you. Now, do people do that? Of course they do. But the point is, you have to stay in that spot. And when that, you know, when that time's up, you're done. You're absolutely done. If you're giving the gospel to somebody, you have to leave. And almost every single time a Japanese police officer would come up to somebody and say, hey, permit. Well, guess what? You get 1 permit. So now you have to stop what you're doing and go find the pastor and show him the permit. Well, guess how much time that could possibly take? That is 15 minutes gone from your slot. You know what I mean? And so, you know, I look at that. It's okay, well, praise God that you're able to still go soul winning amongst that adversity. But, I mean, could you imagine if that's how it was here? But guess what? There are people that want it that way here. There are people here. There are a lot of people here that would like us to just go away forever. And I'm upset about that. You know, people just need, these patriots need to realize that our rights really do come from God. You know, this nation did have more Christian values in the past. And I get the Founding Fathers' issues and, you know, all the stuff that they were in. You know, they're men of high places. I mean, what do you expect, okay? But God still used that to get the gospel out. I mean, we still send more missionaries out than other people do. You know, we still have, you know, rights here. You know, we're still able to meet here. The cops aren't going to come in here and shut us down. But you know what? Every single one of us can see that day approaching. You can tell, you know, because we're having children rule over the elders. We're having women rule over men. You know, I mean, these kids now, these teens now are allowed to go and just say whatever they want to the police officers and, you know, just mock them, flip them off, and take over small blocks inside of, you know, cities and stuff like that, like in Seattle. And what does the government do? Oh, that's just their right. We don't want to bother them, you know. Go to Portland and walk around for a little while, and you'll see Isaiah chapter 3. Now, Isaiah chapter 3, again, is not a prophecy about America, but there's a lot of similarities, okay? So we need to realize that. So keep your place there in Isaiah chapter number 3 and turn to Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2. So again, the topic today is parasitic patriots. I'm preaching against this pride that these patriots have today. You know, you go back to the 80s, right? People would say, you know, I'm proud to be an American. And it kind of felt like it meant something today, right? But what do we see the word pride shifting to today? Sodomites, sodomy, and that whole community. That's what it means. Well, now when you say you're proud to be an American, you have to actually include the pride of the alphabet community, don't you? Because that's what our military is turning to. That's what this whole nation's turning to. They dedicated a whole month to these freaks. They want these freaks to rule over us. And you know what? These so-called American flag-waving Idahoan patriots with the 4x4s. And look, I got nothing against a 4x4. But they think they're so tough. They think they're so special. Oh, we're going to be the ones to save America. But yet they can't even be bothered to be invited to church without freaking out and just throwing a little temper tantrum. You know what that means? Mentally, these people are children. And they are the ones that are going to rule over us. And so you're just seeing these patriots go the way of the liberals. That's exactly what we're seeing today. And that is contagious, especially if we don't stand up and stop this, or at least say something, be a light in the community, be a thorn in their sides, right? And tell them, hey, you know what? What you're advocating for is the reason why you're losing your rights. And don't give me this, oh, we've got strength. As soon as Biden comes to get the guns, that's when we're going to step up. You'll do absolutely nothing is what you'll do. You're going to cry and you're going to meme about it. And I'm going to prove that to you today. And again, let me go back to my disclaimer here, okay? Let me just say this. So a lot of you know this. I used to have a top secret security clearance, okay? Now, I hate the way that this nation's going, but if somebody came up to me and said, hey, tell me this, tell me that, you know what? I would still honor that, and I would not share that information. You know, and you say, oh, what are you doing? You're being loyalty to the sodomite nation. No, it's because I signed a piece of paper swearing that I would not give certain things up. Right, that's called loyalty. There's nothing wrong with being loyal. There's nothing wrong with being thankful that we still live here. Right, but what we don't want is to become overly Fox News Baptist zealous towards a government that actually just hates us, hate our guts, okay? So just keep that in mind. And again, we can all see this stuff starting to play out here. Everything that you read here in Isaiah chapter 3, you can find that in the news. You can find that in even local government today, okay? And so what does that mean for us? Well, that means we have to answer a couple of questions. For example, what are we going to do, and how do we operate in a government that is crooked and perverse? We need to know these things because life is not getting easier. We will never get the 80s back. We will never even get the don't ask, don't tell back. Okay, well, that's never coming back. Now it's, you know, I'm forcing you and you have to take it. Okay, that's the day and age that we live in. But we still have to live. We still have a mission to fulfill, and we need to know how to raise our families, how to still function as a church despite the coming hardships in this nation. So if you're there in Philippians chapter 2, look at verse number 15. It says this, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke. Now notice this next part, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom ye shine as lights in the world. So what that tells me is that even though we are living in a crooked and perverse nation, which we are, our politicians are crooked. That means they are corrupt. That means that they are dishonest. They do things that are illegal. For example, anytime that these apartment managers want to kick us out of a building, okay, and the cops come, and when the cops are like, you know what, I just don't know, I just want you to leave. Or worse, they say, you know what you're doing is illegal because they told you to leave. Well, what does the law say? Well, the city ordinance in every single city within the Treasure Valley says that what we are doing is not soliciting. At all. There's nothing wrong. Look, I could right now just go down to any apartment complex, not say what church I'm from, and just say, hey, oh, I'm just knocking on doors because I want to make friends. I'm just trying to find some friends because I'm lonely. Is there a law against that? But that's essentially what we're doing. We're trying to make friends. We're trying to get people saved. We're just trying to share some words with them. They just so happen to be the words of God, right? And that's what offends these people. Right, but what do the police do more often than not? Well, they just take the side of crookedness. They take the side of corruption because they're dishonest and a lot of the stuff that they do is illegal. And that is the nation that we live in. But with that being said, we are still expected to operate harmless. We are still expected to be blameless without rebuke in the midst of all of that. So again, we need to learn how to operate in this type of environment. We need to know what to do despite the coming hardships. You can leave your place there for now. We're going to come back to it later on, but go to Deuteronomy chapter number 32. Deuteronomy chapter number 32. So, in Deuteronomy chapter number 32 here, we're going to talk about this crooked and perverse nation, because that's exactly what's going to happen, and that is what's happening during the time that Isaiah is prophesying to the nation of Judah and within Jerusalem. And so, what does it mean to be perverse? Well, it means to be contrary to standards and in spite of consequences, right? And that's exactly what you see today. You know, these freaks that are out there, they have no problem walking around the store dressed super just immodest. You know, I mean, it's just mind-boggling. Right? You know how a lot of stores will say, hey, no shoes, no shirt, no service, things like that. Well, I've seen several times where like these freaks will walk in there with like barely a shirt. It's like, what is that, a string? And nobody will say anything to them because of the disfigurement of their faces, right? Because they got the Portland, Seattle wave going on, you know, and the multicolored hair and the fag flag shirt. And so people look at that and, oh, we can't say nothing to them because, you know, then we're being intolerant, right? That's perverse. That is perverse, but you know what? That is the attitude of today, and you're just going to see it get worse, right? They're gonna buy billboards. They're going to put that filth on there. Eventually, they're going to come protest this church, and the signs that they're going to have are absolutely disgusting. Let me just give you a tip right now. Do not ever in your life forget this. If you ever come to this church and you see protesters outside with signs, have your kids look at the ground. Right? Have them put hands on shoulders and do the electric train and come on in here because it will defile you. Right. In fact, their signs are so bad that a lot of times the police are like, it changes their minds. They're like, oh, whoa, okay, so this is what it's like. You know, so it does kind of serve a good purpose. But what does that mean? That means perverseness. Okay. And you know what? Our politicians, let's just take the Treasure Valley, or let's just take Boise for an example. What do you think the mayor would do if she drove by and saw those people out there? She would say, that's liberation. Right. That's what that church deserves, because she's a commie liberal. She's a commie. That's why. That's what commies do. They destroy. They consume. They're all consuming is what they are, okay? They are crooked and they are perverse. But despite all that, again, we have to know how to live. We have to know how to operate. But I just want to focus on that phrase, crooked and perverse, for a second. So you're in Deuteronomy chapter number 32. Now, just to give you a quick background. So Moses is about to sleep with the fathers. He's about to go up to heaven. Remember, Moses was not going to go into the promised land because he threw a little temper tantrum. And so God says, hey, here's what's going to happen, though. I'm just going to let you know. You're not really missing a whole lot here, because these people are going to go whoring after other gods. And he says, you know what? I'm eventually going to forsake them because they break my covenant, and I'm going to hide my face from them. And so he says, I'm going to teach you this song here, and I want you to give this song to the elders, and I want you guys to teach it to the people of Israel. Right now, he makes these statements here. Look at verse number 4. So Deuteronomy chapter number 32, look at verse number 4. I want you to see this here. It says, he is the rock, his work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. Now notice what he's teaching the children of Israel here. For all his ways are what?
Judgment.
Exactly. What are we seeing today in this nation here? Don't judge. That's wrong. Don't ever judge anybody. You know, I've been messing with these sodomites on Facebook because I knew I was going to preach this sermon today, you know, and I like to just throw up Jude 1:7. I just love doing that, you know, and I don't say nothing. I just wait and see what people say. And you know what? They always respond, hey, don't judge, lest you be judged. And they'll always just keep, you know, then they'll get a hold of my, you know, messenger and start sending me little messengers on Facebook, you know, don't judge, love everyone. Jesus loved, you know, the typical that you guys always hear, right? And then I'll quote them another verse, right? I'll hit them up with something else. And then they'll get so frustrated. This is always, always, always the response. I'll kill you. Your God sucks. It's just the most horrible, vile things that you could think of. I don't believe anyways. But it's like, why did you go through trying to tell me what the Bible says when you don't believe? You know what? It's because they hate judgment. Because they're so perverse, they can't even think straight. That's how crooked these people are. But he says, for all his ways are judgment. That's how this nation was kind of founded. But now all of a sudden, judgment's the bad word, right? And that's why we don't want to stop these idiots from taking over city blocks in Seattle. That's why we don't want to stop these people from using the streets as a restroom down in San Francisco and the drugs and stuff. Instead of actually punishing people for wrongdoing, what we do is we enable them. We enable them. And what does that do? That causes that to expand, and it causes hardships on all of us is what it does. Look at verse 5. It says this, they, well, who's the they? The children of Israel in the future, they have corrupted themselves. What do we read in Isaiah chapter number 3? It's because of the tongues and the doings of the people. You see, those two things are connected. Isaiah 3, the prophecy there, and this prophecy right here in this song. They have corrupted themselves. There's no one else to blame. You're not going to blame the king. You're not going to blame the elders. You're not going to blame the president. It's the people's fault. They have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They are perverse and crooked generation. Again, they are a perverse and crooked generation. That's what you see in Isaiah chapter 3. God is telling Isaiah, hey, let these people know they are on this road and there's no turning back. They've gone too far. They are present tense bad. They are evil. They have turned themselves from following me. Well, what do we see in America in 2021? We see a crooked and perverse nation. But not only that, we see a crooked and perverse generation throughout the whole entire planet, it seems like. You know what? I wonder in 20 years if we're going to be like, you know what? I wish I was born in Mexico. I wish I was born in some other country. I wish we could just go to Africa with Skulk and just hang out there for the rest of the time. You know what I mean? I mean, is that what's going to be said? Because guess what? Like I said, we're not getting that back. Look, we would love to just have don't ask, don't tell back. I mean, that would be better than what we have now. Than having our army, you know, put on these commercials saying, oh, we're so woke. Look, we got Dykes in army. That is insane. And then Bradley sent a picture yesterday about the Marines changing their logo to the pride. The few and the proud. Well, guess what? You don't want to be the few and the proud anymore. Our military is done. You know, when people come out and, oh, hey, I'm special forces. You're special ed is what you are. That's what you are. Because you are part of this system now. Look, don't ever join the military. It is disgusting. I mean, it was disgusting when I was there, and they hated the homos back then. They did. We used to sing songs about killing them. I'm not kidding. We would sing them every morning. The lowest form of life on earth was a homosexual. Now that's the highest form of life on earth, according to our government. I'm probably not going to have a YouTube channel left after this, but whatever. I don't care. Verse number 6. Do ye thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not he thy father that hath bought thee? Hath he not made thee and established thee? You see, this is what these so-called patriots of today are missing. The Bible says that the result of a crooked and perverse generation is what? Foolishness and unwise. That is what will dominate. That is what will rule the land. Now, I want to read this article to you. I think Brother Mike sent this to me, and I tried to find a transcript of it, but I had to go to whitehouse.gov in order to get it. And it's basically Joe Biden threatening America, and I want you to all hear this, and I want you to visualize the patriots that you see on a weekly basis and how tough they are when we just want to give them a Bible verse. We just want to get them saved because we actually care, and we actually do love some people. Listen to this. So there's a discussion here going on, and I just basically grabbed the first part where Biden starts talking. Now, it's going to sound like I'm stuttering, and I got I do start stuttering when I, you know, get excited or whatever, but this is on a whole nother level. Look, this guy, you want to talk about somebody who's foolish and unwise? That guy in there, my dad, who's got the last stages of Alzheimer's dementia, can put together better sentences about nothing than Joe Biden on his best day with a teleprompter. All right, so here's what he says. He says this. First, we discussed cracking down, as you heard from the Attorney General, on rogue gun dealers. We know that if there is a strict enforcement of background checks, then fewer guns get into the hands of criminals. Background checks have thus far kept more than 3 million guns out of the hands of felons, convicted felons, fugitives, domestic abusers, and others prohibited from being able to purchase a gun. And there are still too many loopholes in that system. Now, who in here believes that? Who in here believes that a background check on somebody who's never been in trouble with the law, aside from maybe a few speeding tickets, is actually the culprit? So giving you all a background check before you can buy any kind of firearm apparently is what's going to solve these other people out here who are criminals from getting weapons. If that's true, then why do they still have weapons? Right. Why didn't they go over in that area in Seattle and take away their guns? Yeah. And then trace that back to some law-abiding citizen? Yeah. I don't know. I think that's a pretty good question. But he says there's too many loopholes in that system. What does that mean? That means he wants to make it stricter. Yeah. He wants to make it more difficult for you to buy a firearm. He goes on to say this. And today, enough rogue gun dealers feel like they can get away with selling guns to people who aren't legally allowed to own them. And you just stop right there. You ever hear a liberal say, yeah, that's right. I'm proud to be Biden's, you know, under Biden's authority. Well, wait a minute. Are you saying that there are people that cannot be rehabilitated? Commie liberal, is that what you're saying? Because that's what it sounds like you're saying to me. Just a little food for thought there. He goes on to say this. And I might add, the Second Amendment, from the day it was passed, limited the type of people who could own a gun and what type of weapon you could own. You couldn't buy a cannon. Well, you got to understand, too, you go back to the time where they were using cannons, you know, they didn't have a bunch of sodomite freaks and the government wasn't trying to make it to where they could come beat down your door and say, hey, I'd really like to get to know you. And there's nothing you could do about it. Right? See, there's a big difference between, you know, 1776 and today. Okay. And here, let me just read the Second Amendment here. It says this, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, okay? So it is legal for a militia to form, organize, and train, and do the things that they feel are necessary in order to protect the state. It goes on after the comma to say this, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. What does it mean to infringe on something? It means to interfere, it means to interrupt. That is what it means. So what's a background check? That's an infringement. What's a concealed carry permit? That's an infringement. What are the parasitic patriots doing about it? Absolutely nothing. What they're doing is making memes, complaining, and crying, and whining, and complying. That's what they're doing. That's exactly what they're doing today. But, I mean, talk about, what did we just learn? What are two attributes of a crooked and perverse generation? Foolishness and unwise. And this is the president saying this stuff here. The president of this country. He goes on to say this. Those who say the blood of lib, the blood of patriots, you know, and all the stuff about how we're going to have to move against the government. Well, the tree of liberty is not watered with the blood of patriots. What's happening is that there have never been, if you wanted, or if you think you need to have weapons to take on the government, you need F-15s and maybe some nuclear weapons. That is a direct threat to the American people. Congratulations, hero patriot, you tough guy with your stickers and your flags and stuff like that. You did absolutely nothing.
Nothing. You did nothing about that. He just threatened you, threatened to blow you up, just basically told you, eventually we're going to take your guns. You can't fight us because we have F-15s, we have nukes, we have subs, we have carriers, we have all the stuff. Good luck. I own you. I'm going to control you, and you will do exactly what I want you to do. Well, what is the apathetic patriot doing about it today? Nothing. They're busy complimenting Recoil magazine because they chose some guy with an American fag flag on a t-shirt. That's what they're busy doing. They're busy messaging me in the middle of the night telling me how they would like to kill me and hunt me instead of animals because I quoted them a Bible verse about Sodom and Gomorrah. That's the issue today. These people are parasites is what they are. They're not patriots. They're patriots of hell is what they are. He goes on to say this, the point is that there has always been the ability to limit, rationally limit, the type of weapon that can be owned and who can own it. That's really stupid too, because what do our tax dollars do? They go to pay for these types of things, right? Your tax dollars go to pay for the ammunition for our soldiers, the maintenance of our carriers and the submarines and the airplanes and the nukes and to hide them and all of this stuff. So we actually do kind of own this stuff. So for him to bypass that fact and say, hey, you can't beat us, that should have set off a Tea Party right there. That should have set off a revolution. That should have had him removed from office, but it didn't. They're going to go right back to playing their games on the computer and thinking they're tough and listening to their rock music and their rap music and their country music and drinking their alcohol and, you know, I'm barbecuing me some hot dogs. I'm calling in sick on Friday. Friday's always a phone call away from me. I'm American. That kind of attitude. Yeah. The last time, he goes on to say that. Did I just say that? Yeah, I did just say that, didn't I? The last time we had... All right, the last time we had data on this issue of who is purchasing guns was more than 20 years ago. 5% of gun dealers, it turns out, in the study we did, showed that 90% of illegal guns were found at the crime scene sold by 5% of gun dealers. 5% sold 90% of the guns found at crime scenes. And that's exactly how it reads. I didn't stutter. So if that doesn't make sense to you, well, it doesn't make sense to me. The only thing you really need to hang on to is the fact that he just threatened America and the so-called super-duper hero patriots did absolutely nothing. But they got on that computer. Boy, they cranked out some memes, didn't they? How tough are you? This ship is going down and you're going down with it, hero. That's what's going on today. And so I just find it so ironic that we go and knock on their doors. Hey, we just want to invite you to church. And I can't believe. Just start bawling and throwing a pebbles and bam, bam, temper tantrum on the ground. And they got to follow us around the neighborhood and follow us around the apartment complex. And then, you know, right at night. Oh, it's midnight. I'm going to kill you. I hate you. I can't believe you came here. I can't believe you went like that on my wooden door. I'm so offended. I'm so hurt. What a bunch of cowards. Right. What a bunch of stinking liberal commie cowards disguised as patriots. Yep. You know what? God has removed and is removing the captain of 50s in this nation. It is hard to find somebody that has any kind of leadership skills today. And what else did we learn about in Isaiah? God says, hey, I'm going to take away the ancient. Well, guess what? What does that mean? It means several things. In this nation today, you have people that are hell-bent on wanting to basically kill anybody over 70 years old. Thinking, well, you live a good life. You should be removed from society. So God's going to probably allow some of that to happen because that's what people want. And you know what? Dementia and Alzheimer's is on the rise. Well, that's another way to remove the ancient. What happens when you remove the ancient from, or the elders, if you will, from a society? There goes prudence. There goes counsel. There goes wisdom. There goes experience. There goes all sorts of things that you need to advance as a nation, right? And this is why I get so bent out of shape when people are like, is your church like mostly old people, or is there just like a lot of young and teens? You know, it's like they just want to find a church that's just hip with the skinny jeans and the holes in them, and everybody's between 15 and a half and 20 years old. That's literally what they want. They don't understand the value of having a mixed crowd and what that can do for experience. What am I talking about? Anyways, go back to Isaiah chapter 3. Go back to Isaiah chapter number 3. And while you're turning there, I'm going to read for you Philippians 2:15 one more time with all of that. So again, Joe Biden threatened America last week, and you patriots did nothing. Absolutely nothing. But hey, some of the memes are pretty cool. Thanks for doing them. Keep it up. Keep it up, buddy.
Philippians 2:15 says this, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. So again, our goal, despite how the world turns, it doesn't matter. Our goal is to follow this verse here. We want to remain blameless. We want to remain harmless. We want to remain without rebuke in the world. And we want to be wise. Because guess what? Wisdom's going today. There are very few people left that take accountability, that can even show up to work 3 days a week, you know, that are honest. You go to try to fix somebody's appliance and they're just like, oh, I want you to install a compressor, basically rebuild my refrigerator for $99. You know, that attitude is just so prevalent today, but we need to understand we still got to operate. We still have to function as a church. So we're going to remove, we're going to move on to the practical part of this sermon at this time here. So you're in Isaiah chapter 3. Look down at verse number 9. And so he makes this statement here in Isaiah chapter 3, verse 9. I want you to see this. It says this, the show of their countenance doth witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom, they hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. So again, what do we see here? When God removes certain things from society, the leadership, the reserves, the elders, the wisdom, the counselor, the prudent, all of these different things. When God takes the leadership, he takes the family unit, he takes these things, it's always because that's what the bulk of the people wanted. That's exactly what it is. You know, I mentioned this already. Soul winning today in June of 2021 is different than it was 6 years ago. You can just tell. Talk to people who've been soul winning for 15, 20 years. They will tell you the same thing. Something has changed, and it's changed drastically, especially in the last year. But look at this verse again, one more time. It says, the show of their countenance doth witness against them, and they declare their sin as Sodom, they hide it not. So that was a big problem, as you all know, with Sodom and Gomorrah. They were proud of what they were doing. They were proud of being lawless and just being controlling, manipulating people, and doing all the filth and abominations that they do, and they hide it not. And God's saying, hey, this is what's going on here right now in Judah and in Jerusalem. This same attitude, they are beginning to be proud of their sins, being proud. They're not ashamed anymore. And that has got to be vexing on any nation. But notice what he says. He says, woe unto their soul. So that tells me that there's going to be a lot of reprobates during the time that you read about here in Isaiah. And of course, leading up to the reign of Nebuchadnezzar and him coming in and taking over. But we also see that today in abundance. You see reprobates every single time we go out soul winning. They're in the workforce, they're in the stores, they're everywhere. They're on TV, they're in government most of all. See, because a long time ago, they decided the way that we're going to defeat this country is from the inside out. So they started going to city councils. They started going to the HOAs. They started going to every facet of leadership that they could find. And because, you know, they're smart and they got into the public schools and they started teaching people, hey, don't question, don't judge, be nice, blah, 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 whatever the case is. And the people said, oh, yeah, yeah, we like this system better than what God's given us. The result is what you are seeing. We are headed directly towards a full-on Sodom and Gomorrah-style government and nation today. But we are not without teaching. We are not without clues on how to identify these people here. So keep this phrase in your mind right now. Look at the beginning of the verse. The show of their countenance doth witness against them. What is God doing to the nation here? What is God revealing to us in this part of the verse? What's a countenance? Well, a countenance is often in the Bible, so it's your face or your facial expression. And what God is saying is, hey, their countenance does testify against them. Real quickly, jump down to verse number 18, and we're going to come back to that. The countenance doth witness against them. Look at this here, verse 18. It says, in that day the Lord will take away the bravery of their tinkling ornaments about their feet and their calls and their round tears like the moon. Look at verse 19. The chains and the bracelets and the mufflers, the bonnets, the ornaments of the legs and the headbands and the tablets and the earrings. Right? So he's going to take away their iPads and all of that sort of thing. Verse 21. The rings, the nose jewels. Notice all of these things, what they are. They're to get attention. They're for you to see. They're to go into your mind, right? They're flashy is what they are. And these people are what? They are proud of this. They're immodest and they're proud. They're not ashamed at all. Look at verse 23. the glasses and the fine linen and the hoods and the veils. We're going to stop right there. Turn to Psalms chapter 10 real quick. Psalms chapter number 10. So again, why did I read that? What in the world's going on here? You're like, what are you trying to tell us? Well, from this passage here, it's doom and gloom. It's not very pleasant to read. It's kind of like, man, especially when you start thinking about our nation, it's like, oh man, you know, what are we headed into here? But God's giving us a clue here on how to identify these people in the workplace, in our lives, so that we can save ourselves. And he says, the show of their countenance doth witness against them. Well, think about a person's face, right? Let's say I get a picture up here. Somebody, let's have Brother Jeff up here, and he draws a picture of a guy smiling, right? Well, all he has to do, and tell me if I'm wrong, Jeff, all you would have to do to change his countenance would maybe to be just change the position of his eyes, right? You change his eyes just subtly and it changes the expression, right? Yeah, so he would tell you that. And you guys know that, right? Well, what does that mean? Hold that thought. Look at Psalm chapter 10 and verse number 4. It says this, the wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. You see this phrase a lot in the Bible, through the pride of his countenance. Why are we being told this? Why are these things written in the Bible? And I'll tell you, it's the entire bottom line for this sermon, and it's this, the eye is the index of the mind. The eye is the index of the mind. Now go back to Isaiah chapter 3 real quickly with that in mind. The eye is the index. You say, what is an index? Well, an index, think about the index for a book. What does that mean? Well, an index in a book, it gives the reader or the potential reader an informative, balanced picture, if you will, or a portrait of what's inside the book. Okay, so you're supposed to be able to scan the index and be, oh, okay, that's what this book's generally about. So if I want to find this information real quickly, I can go to page 367 or whatever the case is. That's an index, okay? Now, with that in mind, read Isaiah chapter 3, verse 9 again real quickly. What does it say? The show of their countenance doth witness against them. Guess what that means? They cannot hide this thing forever, right? People who are reprobates, people who are wicked, people who are filled with envy, hatred, just malice, all these things, concupiscence, murder, you know, you can find those things through looking into their eyes. Their countenance doth testify against them, right, is what God is saying here. And so you say, why is that important? Because we need to know how to operate in this world. And these people are rising up, and they don't always dye their hair green and put the horseshoe in their nose, right? Sometimes they wear a suit and a tie, and they grow the beard out, and they comb their hair, and they talk normal. They don't have the lisp. Uh-oh, now we have a problem. See, because anybody can go online and start watching sermons and be like, okay, and they can get a feel for the culture here, and they can start to repeat things that they hear and make you think, oh, he must be one of us. He must be on board. But God is telling us, hey, the show of their countenance doth witness against them. We can, through learning discernment, learn how to spot these people, okay? Now, you got to be careful with this because sometimes people are just got problems, right? And you think, oh, I think that guy's a reprobate. You want to be very careful about doing that. Now, turn to Nehemiah chapter number 2. Nehemiah chapter number 2. But God's telling us, you know, the eyes tell the innocent. The eyes tell the righteous. The eyes tell us when to be on guard. Have you ever met somebody and you're like, man, I you know, you're wearing a suit, you're wearing a tie, or you're wearing a dress, but there's something wrong with that person. You just get this feeling there's something wrong. What in the world is it? You know where you're getting that from? You're getting that through their countenance. God is trying to show you something. Hey, this person has perverseness in their soul. There's been a breach in their spirit. There is something wrong, and you need to be aware of that. You need to be careful. You need to take heed. That's what we need to understand. Look, you have to work hard at this. This is why, you know, we're so big on Bible reading and doing all these things that we do, because people like that would love nothing more than to come into a church like this and wreak havoc on our children, wreak havoc on people's marriages. But you know what God's saying? Hey, I'm giving you clues here. I'm giving you tips here. I'm giving you wisdom on how to spot these people so that you can distance yourself from them and operate despite all of that. Because you know what? Not everybody who comes into a church is just, like I said, easily, you know, you just can't easily pick them out. Sometimes you just get the feeling, you just know because of their countenance. And you're like, okay, you know, and they don't always do something to get the boot right away like we've had 21, 22 times in the past. You know, so you just got to be careful with that. So Nehemiah chapter number 2.
So several years after Isaiah has prophesied his vision, eventually Nebuchadnezzar came in, took control of Jerusalem, conquered Judah, and then he gets wiped out. His dynasty is gone, and the Persians take over. And so now we're at a point where Judah is no longer, they don't have a king anymore. Their king is a foreigner. They're basically just under control of the Persians here. And God's saying, you know what, it's going to be time to rebuild here. And I want you to notice something here. Nehemiah chapter 2, look at verse number 1. It says this, "And it came to pass in the month Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him. And I took up the wine and gave it unto the king. Now I had not been before sad in his presence." So Nehemiah is his servant. He's employed by Artaxerxes the king. He's got a pretty good job here, right? But he's learned of, you know, what happened back in Jerusalem. And he's sad because that's his nation. That's his heritage. He's upset about it. He's sad. But look at verse number 2. "Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? This is nothing else but sorrow of heart." Now look what he says. "Then I was sore afraid." Then I was sore afraid, right? Because, you know, if you know anything about the Persians, they did not like to have bad news in their company. They wanted everything to just be gravy. "Hey, don't tell me anything bad that's going on. You know, I just want to throw an Ahasuerus style 6th month party. I want everything to just be smooth, no bad days," right? That was kind of their policy. And so Nehemiah is sad because he can't help it. But yet the king's like, okay, something's going on here. And now he's starting to fear because he understands that that's the law. That's the way it's supposed to be during their time. You're not supposed to be sad in front of the king. But the king's eventually going to give him the desires of his heart. But I want you to focus on the beginning of that verse there in verse number 2, where it says, "Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad?" So the king recognizes by his facial expression that there is a heart condition, okay? And so the first point that I want to make this morning is this: the emotions of the heart often find expression on the countenance, okay? You say, why are you bringing this up? Because we need to pay attention to this, okay? Now, all of us have issues, you know. You guys know, you could come into a room sometimes and, you know, maybe your friends are in there and it's just like something's not right today. You could just feel tension. You ever just been somewhere where you could just feel tension and it's so thick you could cut it with a knife? That comes because of the countenance of people's faces, right? We have a hard time hiding it. Well, the same thing is true for the reprobates. So even though they can do a really good job sometimes of trying to hide that and blending in, God's saying, hey, there's still enough left there in their eyes to where you can pick that out and you can see it. Now turn to Proverbs chapter number 15. Proverbs chapter number 15. So the emotions of the heart often find expression on the countenance. Now, this is a good situation here in Nehemiah. He's just sad, and it's reflecting on his face. It's reflecting on his behavior. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. We all have bad days. We all have good days, whatever. But what this applies to and what this means, again, is that when dangerous people come in among the sheep, we have cues. We have clues. We need to look out at the countenance and at least just take a mental note. Hey, I don't think something's right here. There is something in the eyes. Because when a person is filled with envy, a person is filled with malice, a person is just filled with hatred, they don't want to be here, but yet they're still here. They still force themselves to come. That is going to come out of their eyes. It's going to come out through their countenance. That's what God told Isaiah to teach the people in Judah and Jerusalem. He said, hey, though all these things are happening, guess what? The countenance that they have is going to testify against them. So it's not like you're just going to be without hope. You can recognize them, but there's some things that you have to learn first. So you say, okay, the emotions of the heart, they find expression on the countenance. What do we do about that? What do we do when we're sad? What do we do when we just can't help but get over this funk that we're in? Well, here's a couple of things that you could do. Proverbs 15, look at verse 13. It says this. Proverbs 15, verse 13 says, "A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken." So a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. Well, that's the big question, right? That's the question of the day. How do we get our hearts to be happy? How do we turn our attitudes around when we're just in a funk? Everything's just going wrong. You got all of these different problems. Well, how about psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs? If you've ever been in a bad mood and you turn on some hymns, you know, just go on YouTube, or now you can go back and watch the live stream a little bit and be like, okay, yeah. You know, that's going to cheer you up. Is it going to solve all your problems? No. Right? But it can change your countenance, which is good for your health. It's not good for your physical health to always be in a bad mood, to always be sad, to always be brokenhearted. That's why we're told to walk around singing psalms and, you know, spiritual songs and hymns and all of these things, because it's good for your being. It's good for us. It's good for our countenance. And you know what? That is contagious, right? We don't want to be parasitic patriots. We want to be a people that are filled with psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, so that we can edify one another. Turn to Proverbs 27 real quick. Proverbs chapter number 27. If you got the Bible app or Alexander Scorby and you're all, you know, you're in a bad mood, just turn on the psalms and just listen for a minute. It will calm you down. It will change your countenance. And here's why that is so important. Proverbs 27, look at verse 17. It says this: iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth, don't miss this, the countenance of his friend. So here's another thing that we ought to do when we just can't snap out of it. You see, man, I don't know what it is. I'm just not doing it. Just something's not right. I'm just down in the dumps. Well, you need to be around God's people is what you need. You need the Psalms. You need the hymns. You need to read the Bible. All of these things, they will help you. But this is where people get mixed up. They're like, okay, well, I get it. That's going to help me, but it's not going to fix my problem. Because remember, we live in the disease of now. We want our problem solved instantly, right now, as little work as possible. Okay? That's not reality in most cases. That doesn't just happen automatically. You need to work on your countenance first. Because if you don't, then you're never going to have the energy. You're never going to have the motivation to actually pursue to change your behavior, to change the way that you are. Nobody likes to be around an angry person who's just always upset, always down. You have an idea, you have a goal, you have a vision, and all they can do is just see the problems. That is vexing to the soul. No one likes that. And so for that type of person, what you need to do is you need to follow the advice here. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. So if this is you and you're struggling and somebody's like, hey, you know, this is nothing but sadness of heart. You know, somebody pulls the Artaxerxes on you. It's time to be around God's people. It's time to get some sharpening is what it is, okay? Now turn to Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter number 6. Couple more passages here and we're going to be done. Matthew chapter 6. So the first point that I wanted to make is that emotions of the heart often find expression on the countenance. And the reason why I put it that way and said often is because sometimes people can hide it. And in fact, I'm going to show you that exact thing here in Matthew chapter number 6. Look at verse 16. So this is what Jesus is saying here. He says this when he's teaching the disciples how to fast. He says, moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their what? Their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. So it is possible for people to change their countenance temporarily and to hide what they're really doing, to hide how they really feel, to hide their true heart. Okay, look at verse 17. He says, but thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou may appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. So here's the second point. Sometimes our countenance can be altered to hide the index of the mind, okay, or the index of the heart, rather. And again, this is so important. You know, it's so important to raise our kids, to make sure you tell these kids, hey, when you're talking to an adult, look them in the face. Don't be like, oh. You know, I get it, the young munchkins, you know, they need to be taught this stuff. But by the time you're a teenager, you know, when an adult asks you a question, you need to look that person in the face, because that is going to give you experience on facial expressions. And people say a lot by their faces. That's one of the biggest distractions that a preacher has, are looks on people's faces. That's why God told Jeremiah. That's why God told Isaiah. That's why he was constantly telling these prophets, hey, don't be afraid of their faces. Look at the tops of the heads or whatever you have to do, you know, because it can be vexing at times, because people show who they really are through their eyes. It can't help it. God has ordained it that way. Okay, but the thing is, you know, sometimes these types of people could come in here and they can appear to fast, right? Sometimes people will come into a church and just appear to be a great mighty hunter for the Lord, you know, and when inwardly they're what? They're full of ravenous, they're full of garbage, they're full of trash and hypocrisies and self-righteousness and things of that sort. So again, we need to just realize that people could sometimes be good enough to put on a show for a little while. And it's why they don't last too long in these types of churches, because we are a Bible-preaching church. We believe and preach the full
Bible. We don't hide anything. We don't skip over stuff intentionally. You know, sometimes we have to, you know, skip here and there for the sake of time. But we're always going to come back. We're always going to tell you what it says.
Right.
If we didn't, there'd be 10,000 people here this morning. Okay? That's how this thing works. Now turn to Jude real quick. Turn to Jude. So I wanted to end the sermon off correctly, being it's getting close to July and being Pride Month. You know, I wanted to just make sure and bring this stuff up here because this is important. And the biggest threat, the biggest danger when God takes away the things that he's saying he's going to take away in Isaiah 3, the prudent, the counselor, the captains of 50s, the mighty man, the man of war, you know, all of these sorts of things. He's going to take away the reserves. What naturally happens is children will rule, the women will rule, but the sodomites come in. And as you read through the Old Testament, you start going through 1st, 2nd Samuel, and we start to get into the kings, you're going to start to see that in abundance. Every time a wicked king, you know, there's a wicked king, a wicked people, guess what? Sodomites come up. Because they thrive in an environment where there's no law or very little law. And that is where we are headed. And again, we got to know how to operate. We've got to know what to do. And one thing that we have to do is we have to remember that the eye is the index of the mind, because these people will come to us because they want to hurt. They want to destroy. And God's saying you can still spot them. You can spot a psychopath by their countenance, by their eyes, by talking with them. This is why it's important to raise kids and to be a people with confidence and to look people in the face when you're talking to them so that you can read that, so that you can identify trouble. So, Jude, look at verse number 7. It says this. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. And boy, if you want to get some parasitic patriots upset, man, all you have to do is Bible app, copy, paste, you're good to go. You don't even have to say anything. Just post that there.
Yep.
And you will set off a firestorm, and it's wonderful too. But again, we read this verse here, and we understand several things. We understand that the events of Genesis 19, that they are to be our example, right? And so we need to study these types of people, their behaviors, their patterns, their manners, the things that they stood for, and recognize and understand this is the environment that we're living in today in Boise, Idaho, 2021 of June. And we need to realize that. Look at verse number 8. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignity. So these are things that we need to realize and look for. Look, these people are filthy dreamers. They conjure up things that the normal mind could not even fathom. Don't believe me, just go into a locker room sometime at your job and you will hear this. And Skulk knows exactly what I'm talking about. It is horrible. You know, locker room talk back in the day when I was in junior high was one thing. Now it's absolutely atrocious. It's a serious super vexation of the soul. And it's kind of funny how you go through, they put, you know, these companies always put you through this HR training, right? Be pleasant, be tolerant, be, you know, concerning, be loving. Don't ever offend anyone on any, you know, account. And then they allow stuff like that to partake. They allow stuff like that to take place. And why? Because we live in a crooked and perverse nation. They're going to tell you one thing and do another. You just have to expect it. You have to deal with it. You have to do your job anyways. Look at verse number 9. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." So we can see that this is what these people do. They rail, they lie, they imagine. I mean, they just defile the flesh. They despise leadership, and they speak evil of anything that is honest, good, and true, no matter what it is. They speak evil of those things. Now, Steadfast Baptist Church has had their Facebook under attack, and we were reading some of the comments on there, and Jessica was telling me one where this guy just made up this long, elaborate story, just completely false, just super false. I mean, it's just utterly horrible. And so many people were just like, oh, I knew that's how it was there. I mean, it was just I can't repeat it, but it was just the dumbest thing I've ever read. It's like, you know, any one of us could probably make up a better story than that. It just didn't happen. You know, but why do they do things like that? And it's because they're filled with all unrighteousness, right? They have these filthy dreams and they put these things out there. And, you know, the ignorant come along and they're like, oh, yeah, makes sense. Yeah, that happened, without even fact checking, right? Because they think Facebook's going to do all the fact checking for them, which it's not. Look at verse 10. But these speak evil of those things which they know not. But what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Okay? So here's the deal. When somebody comes in and maybe they seem a little off and you're off the milk, you're on to the word, and you just, something's not right about a person, and you just know this, right? Read this verse again. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, what they know naturally as brute beasts, there it is. In those things they corrupt themselves. Eventually this will ooze out of them. Right. They will find somebody who they feel for a moment that they can trust, okay? And what they'll do is they'll begin to share things with that person. And it's terrible. It's horrible, okay? They cannot help it. And you're going to see why here in a second. Look at verse number 11. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward and perished in the gainsaying of Kori. Look at verse 12. These are spots in your feast of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. They have no fear to come into a place like this and be a spot, to be a blemish, to be a black mark, to be an Achan situation. You understand what I'm saying? These people come in here to cause hell. So don't think, oh, they won't come in here because we're a church and they hate God. No, they want to come in here. Now, more often than not, they're going to go down to the new evangelical church because they have learned through the process of time that these people in these churches are not exactly keen on discernment. And so they can have a field day. It's like going to Toys R Us on a free day or whatever. So they love that, but they hate it so much that they will come in and they will try and they will test and they will see what they can get away with. These are spots in your feast of charity when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. And that reminds me a lot of some of these patriots out here, these so-called parasitic patriots. Clouds they are without water. You know, oh, Second Amendment. Look, I love the Second Amendment. I'm glad that we have the right to own firearms. I like these laws. You know, this is great. But these people think they're so tough and they're going to do something. They get threatened by the president of the United States and they do nothing. They are clouds without water. But yet they want to look down on us. They think that, oh, we're so weak and pathetic because we walk around with Bibles and we want to get people saved. Ignorance. Now look at verse 13. Raging waves of the sea. Now don't miss this here. Foaming out their own shame. You have to understand that people through their countenance will literally foam out their shame. That is what they will do. The pride that is in their heart will come out through their eyes. They cannot hide it. And you know what? That is a gift from God, but it's something we need to realize as God's people, that we need to understand. These are clues. These are cues that we need to pick up on so that we can watch and we can observe people that come into the flock. Look at verse 14. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, of all of their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against them. If you didn't get the memo, they're ungodly. Right? So when people, oh, Jesus loves them. He loves these types of people. No, they're ungodly. They're ungodly. And so to entertain the idea of bringing them into a church and to put them in any kind of leadership position or just to have them even walk through the front door is an ungodly act. And God is not at all pleased with that. Now look at verse number 16. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts and their own mouth. And their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. Now turn to Hebrews chapter number 5. And we're going to wrap this thing up here. Okay, so what are we going to do? We have to answer these questions. What are we going to do about our situation? Because we are living in a time where we're seeing an explosion of reprobates, okay? That is, you know, it's sad. I never thought it would be like this when I was younger, you know, but what's it going to be like in 20 or 30 years from now? You know, I mean, it's going to be interesting, but we still have to know what to do. We still have to know how to operate. And here is a very good tip. Hebrews chapter 5, look at verse number 13. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. It's not a bad thing
If you're just getting into Christianity, you just got saved, or maybe you've been saved for 20 years, you know, but you're just starting to read the Bible, you're a babe, that's a good thing. But the idea is that you feed yourself with the milk, because we have a lot of people that won't even take the milk. They just take the grace and run, you know what I mean? So at least if you're on the milk, I mean, you're better off than like 90% of people that just get saved and like, all right, I'm out. You know, I'm done. I'll just take my slot up there. I'm good to go, right? But you have to understand, if you're on the milk, you're unskillful in using the word of righteousness. So you have to get to the next level. You have to level up. Look at verse 14. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who, by reason of use, that's very important, by reason of use, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. It is so important in today's day and age, and it's always been important, but especially right now, it is so important for you to get off the milk as fast as you possibly can. And you do that by hearing and applying, hearing and applying, hearing and applying, and getting into that cycle, hearing, applying, hearing, and applying. When you do that, you become, verse 14, but strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use. You see, the person on the milk begins to use that milk for energy to go out and do the word of God. You see that? You use the word of God. You hear the wisdom. You hear the precepts. You hear the teachings, and you use them. And guess what happens? You make mistakes. You fall down. You drop things. You say things that are wrong. And you, oh, okay, I get it. And you learn, and you grow. And the benefit, the present, the gift that we get from that is the last part of that verse there, having their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Look, soul winning has taken my discernment from down here, you know, pretty far up. Because you see so many different people that when you go to work, you could just spot a loser right away. You know, somebody comes up to you and, you know, hey, you know, so-and-so is doing this over here and they're garbage and they're lazy and they're always sitting on their butt. You know, you can kind of tell, you know, I ought not to trust that person. You could just see the countenance. You could see the looks, and you know who you can trust. You know who you cannot trust. And you could do that about your extended families. You could do that in your neighborhood. You could do that in church. You could do that anywhere. But the key for today, what we are going to do is to make sure we get off that milk as fast as you possibly can, safely, to get your senses exercised so that you can discern good and evil. Because what these people are doing, they're doing things, you know, they're real slick. They come in, they put on a good show. And it's like, man, if we're not on our game, we're going to miss the boat and we're going to get taken advantage of. And, you know, it's going to be very bad. Now, real quickly, turn to Psalm chapter 119. Psalm 119. Psalm chapter 119. So again, the biggest help from Isaiah chapter 3, and all of it's a help, but would be the fact that the eye is the index of the mind. Okay, the eye is the index of the mind. The eye, the countenance, is going to tell you basically a portrait. It's going to give you a picture of what's in the heart. What is a person about? What are they up to? What are their intentions? Okay, the eye is the index of the mind. And so the first thing that we're going to do is to ensure that our families, ensure that this church, that we stay a Bible-believing preaching church, that we use the Word of God to build our senses so we can sense something's not right, sense there's a problem, sense and discern to save our lives. Now, you're there in Psalm 119. Look at verse number 130. Psalm 130. Because again, according to Philippians 2, we still are expected to operate no matter how bad it gets. No matter how bad it gets, we still need to be blameless. We still got to be harmless. We're still the sons of God. We need to be without rebuke. And we need to shine as lights in the world. And this is what's going to bother a lot of people. You have to understand this. This book here, the King James Bible, is a giant flashlight that cannot be shut off. We have to learn how to use this thing and shine it on everything. All unrighteousness, shine it on all of it. Okay, that's what we're going to do. And get this, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Look at verse 130. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Everybody starts out somewhere. Everybody starts out simple. But the solution, the answer, is the Word of God entering your eyeballs and through your ears and down into your heart. You hear it, you hold it, you use it. And guess what? Day by day, that discernment level is going to go up. And that is what we need today. We need people to say, hey, brother, that person you're talking to right there is a problem. They will prove it because of their countenance, because I could see the eyes, I could see the index, and I'm scrolling through, I'm seeing pride, I'm seeing arrogance, I'm seeing evil, I'm seeing perverseness, I'm seeing all of these different things through that person's eyes. And you need to be careful. Yeah, I may not have proof right now, I may not have proof right away, but you know what? I've got enough to get started. I've got enough to keep an eye out, because we have to all protect what's here. There's not really an abundance of people left out there that want to preach the gospel and be disciples, if you haven't noticed. It's a hard thing to come by today. You know, today, I mean, Jesus said, you don't want to come back? Am I going to even find faith on the earth? That process has already started. You know, sometimes we go to these neighborhoods and we're like, are we even going to find anybody that has faith here? Or did they give their measure of faith to the TV or to another God? I mean, what is it? Right? But again, we have to learn how to operate. Now we get it. These things always point back to the Bible, right? But how are we going to operate? Well, we're going to use the Word of God, despite the backlash, despite the perverses, despite the illegal activity, despite the crookedness. We're going to use this book, and we're going to shine it on all of it. And if people want to cry and bawl their eyes out because it's so unloving, then so be it, man. You know, I told one of these guys, why don't you just come down to the church and I'll fix you a bottle. Look, I'll get you a sippy cup and I'll even warm the milk up for you. I'll give you raw milk. I'll give you powdered milk, whatever you want, because that's all you're good for. Keep that in mind. These patriots here, they're not going to save us. They're not going to help us. And that's another fact we need to teach people. Are you trusting in your country bumpkin out there, your little country boy that's going to apparently rise up and overthrow the government once Biden decides to take the guns? He just threatened to nuke you, and you did nothing. You're a coward. You're weak. You need to wake up. And yes, I'm upset at these people because they're a hindrance to the gospel is what they are. They're trying to run us out of town, and we're not going to let that happen. And you know what? To anybody who's watching this out there and you're of this sort, you need to just wake up. Let go of that pride and realize where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And the initial context of that is obvious. It's salvation. But you know what? There's a secondary application. You want to remove God from buildings. You want to remove him from the schools. Well, guess what? You have America in 2021. Congratulations. You're weak. God has removed your ability to assemble and to actually lead and to overcome this adversity. You're going to bow to the man. You're going to be a commie. And you know what? Brace yourself for impact. But we have a different nation, and that's what I'm loyal to. Amen. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Thank you so much, Lord, again, for just the great truths, the great parallels that we're able to extract from Isaiah chapter 3, Lord. And I just pray that you would help us to realize, though these people may come in and try to wreak havoc, Lord, that we thank you for the advice that you gave us, Lord, that they're, despite however they try to feign themselves, Lord, that their index would show through their eyes, Lord, that we would be able to read that and to see that and to identify them, Lord, and to be able to deal with that and protect ourselves. And we thank you for that great wisdom. We just pray that you bless the rest of our day, Lord. Bring us back tonight safely. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Amen.
All right, let's grab our hymn books one final time this morning. And turn to song number 215, Heaven Came Down and Glory Filled My Soul. And we'll sing it out loud. Song number 215, Heaven Came Down and Glory Filled My Soul. On the first,
oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Day I will never forget. After I wandered in darkness away, Jesus, my Savior, I met. Justified fully through Calvary's love, oh, what a standing is mine, and the transaction so quickly was made. When as a sinner I came, took of the offer of grace he did proffer, he saved me, oh praise his dear name. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole, my sins were washed away. Passing of time, I have a future in heaven for sure, there in those mansions sublime. And it's because of that wonderful day when at the cross I believe riches eternal and blessings supernal from his precious hand I receive. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole, my sins were washed away, and my night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul.
Amen. All right, Brother Anthony, we close with a word of prayer.
All back to church tonight safely in Jesus' name. I pray.
Amen. Amen.